What did you do with it?
You cotton clubbed.
And you did everything else. You did not build power, wealth, and influence for your very own children. As a matter of fact, you tried to make that seem as if that was somehow wrong. You see, we have inculcated, and Professor Truth will co-sign this, that we have inculcated and conditioned our children to think that poverty is just their place in this world. We are the only people who have conditioned our children to believe that it's just their place and just their condition and just their position to serve somebody else. That's the best they can hope for and that's the best they can look for. And this is how we end up in a condition where, do you all understand how long that black people have been begging Hollywood not to portray us in a negative way? People, we've been doing it since the first frame of celluloid. And here we are over a century since the first movie was made and still screaming and complaining about the exact same things that we were when the first movie was made. Over a century later, at some point, the light bulb is supposed to go on for you. And you're supposed to say that that's not working. But I suppose that that only matters if you're in a situation where you are taking the responsibility on yourself. If you're not actually doing that, going to be the problem. And I don't even have any children. I don't even have any kids, and yet I understand how serious this situation is. I don't have any children right now except for these kids who are calling in at the Black Channel. And I'm watching people who do have children, and they're all over Compton, all over Watts, all over Harlem, all over Queens, all over Brooklyn, all over D.C., all over Detroit. And they've handed you over. They handed you over, and they've never sat down with you to help condition you to be ready to go into battle against these other forces. They refuse to do that. They've refused to sit you down so that you can understand exactly what you're up against. They've refused to allow that. And what they've done is they've left you stranded and abandoned and just subject to whatever cruelties these other people want to throw at you. They've left you subject to all of those things, and they're not playing. Right now, the game, understand something. There is no plan in white society for black people to survive in 100 years. There is no black people survival plan among the dominant culture. They're not doing that. There are no meetings taking place among the immigrants about what's best for black people. There are no meetings like that taking place. That's not going on. The only place where the conversation about what's best for black people is going on among us, the few of us who it is happening with. And you should be disgraced. It's disgraced for you to have children. And yet, you are unable to provide for them. It's a disgrace for you to have children and watching as other people are lording over them. You're supposed to be teaching your children how to lord over others, not to be the ones who get pushed around. That's not supposed to happen. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone line to hear. For anybody who didn't call back in when it dropped your calls at the bottom of the hour, you are able to call back in now just to let you know. We weren't playing with your calls there. We did want to let you know that it is changed over now, so you can go ahead and call back in. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your access code.
blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today, the only logical, sensible, rational, and reasonable discussion about black society happening anywhere is happening behind this microphone. You need to join us. Caller from 347, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, this is McFarland. I remember last time a guy called in about he had a child who wanted to play basketball, and I said to myself, I don't have any kids, and hold on, let me take off this mic piece. Check this out. I don't have any kids. I'm, what, 44 years old? And I said to myself that, you know, both of my parents are immigrants from Jamaica, and I've learned the history of Marcus Garvey. I've seen things that he wanted to do. I've heard about the legend of Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Mustafa McGarvey or whatever. But the thing about the whole situation about Pan-Africa, he was trying to bring liberation and all that, and what I've learned from Umar Johnson and certain other places, other people, that what he was trying to do at the time, it was really unthinkable for a guy who came from Jamaica to want to come out, reach his hand out to America, to the rest of the world, and try to bring people together. And in this world, in this society, most blacks, I notice, want to be complicit. They want to be a part of the society, but society in reality don't want them to be a part of it. But they're, you know, I would say as Martin Luther King, I respected Martin Luther King. I respected Malcolm X, but I respected Malcolm X a little bit more, just as much as Marcus they believed in black empowerment, black building, and things that, you know, other people, I don't hear too many leaders talking about that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's because everybody, let's just be honest about it, brother. We didn't get here by accident. White supremacists didn't just wake up one morning with complete control of our minds and hearts. Every slave has a measure of complicity with his own bondage.
I mean, yo, I see
you
what it is,
man.
You can't
make a slave see that. That's the problem, that there have been a bunch of us who've gone along with it.
I mean, the guy had, what, five different kids from five different women or whatever? And I'm like, I mean, when he was going off on him, I'm like, can he go on him? Can you get more hard on this guy? Can you rip this guy, go through the microphone and rip his head off or something? Because I was saying, maybe you're going a little too easy on him. Get hard on him, more harder. I'm like, because, I mean, not to say that I didn't, you know, just rip him to shreds. It's just that it's so easy to blame women for a lot of these problems. I just don't see it. I see it someone, you take two to tangle. It takes a guy that wants to, I mean, look, it's all the benefit. The woman benefits because she gets to go on public assistance and she gets these goodies. But at the same time, what does the guy get about sex? Sex is just like, to me, like nothing. It's just like, you know, you got a lot of guys that run around that horny, like, I mean, the word thirst is just, there's another word for it. It's just like, they're like dogs. They run around in heat. I mean, y'all, if you look at the laws, in the Hebrew laws of men can't do and so, you can't mess with your aunt, you can't mess with your this, you can't. I'm like, who does these things? Who run? I mean, look, don't get me wrong now. There's certain laws that have to be created in the Mosaic laws because I'm just telling you this now. You was talking about all this child molestation going on. It goes on, but it goes on so much. It's just not been talked about. It's all hidden under the rug, and it's like, you got to ask yourself, women want to walk around naked and stuff? I'm like, yo, you, I mean, I'm just like to myself saying,
caller, this is Professor Black Truth. Forgive me for interrupting. It's just a matter of every time I hear the word Hebrew, black men talk about Hebrew, it's usually that doesn't have a happy ending. I'm glad that you called in. I hope you contribute to the fun, to the Uncle Sword. But I would like to give a piece of advice to you. It's not Marcus whatever. It's Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That name is sacrosanct. That name is sacrosanct. We do not call him Marcus whatever, which you did 3 or 4 times. We don't do that. That man is one of
Sorry
our ancestors. He's one of the greatest who ever lived. He set the model for what we're doing. He, that man was the living embodiment of our black manhood. And the fact that he was the guy who got it. And he got in a way that none of his contemporaries did. Other people like Booker T. Washington were butt-kissing and butt-dancing, saying we got to make white people comfortable. Marcus Mosiah Garvey sat there and said, forget it. We need black people comfortable. And that comes with economic power. So yeah, when we come into this place, it is always Marcus Mosiah Garvey. You don't know his full name, but you call him Marcus Garvey. I'm not to take you off. Just a matter of that name is precious to me. It's precious to all of us here because he set the mold. Without him, you don't get a Jason Black. Without him, you don't get a Professor Truth. Because that man, he gave up everything he believed. Started a cruise liner with black people, had never even been on a deep boat on the river. And he was the one who sat there and said, you're not getting out of this situation unless you get yourself economic muscle. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for the call. If there's anything else you'd add.
Well, I would like to apologize in the sense of I should call his name correctly. And I don't think it's wrong for me to play, not be able to express the name clearly. You're right. I mean, I should even show just more respect to my ancestors in the sense that he not only came from my own country, but he, as a fellow black man, I should show him as much respect to him. And I'm wrong on that. And I'm sorry about that if I correctly wrongly said it, because I was just a little frustrated on a brother that was bleeding, throwing his semen around like it was almost like it was water or garbage or something, and populating all these different women for all these. I don't know. My mother had been married only twice. And once to a man in Jamaica and another guy in Jamaica, she didn't run around with 2, 3, 4, 5 different men like it was like nothing. So basically I only have one older sister who come from one father and another sister that from all these, one father, one other father, and that's it. We don't have a whole bunch of different children from this, that. That's nonsense, man. And to me, it's sickening me that a man would run around and he's in his 40s, and I'm 44, and I'm like, God, you're running after what, a 20-something-year-old girl? My gosh, man, I'm not being too critical, but I feel what this guy was doing to me was just detriment and destruction to himself and to his children, to his sons and his kids. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It just disgusts me, man.
Well, I did chat with him yesterday for a few minutes. He claimed he had more training at work. But I've told him that since you'll be off next week, I will make sure that I will even do a special broadcast if I have to on whatever day you're off on. So there will not be getting off the hook that easy. But thank you very much for calling us, Brother McFarlane. Please check in with us again. Right now, I want to go ahead and bring on the line here, Mona Lachey. Welcome back to the Black Channel, sister.
Black first.
Well, we've had the sister of Hussein, and you all remember when he called in a while ago. And you, being older than myself, you've watched this whole damn thing has gone downhill for half a century now. That the great experiment in interracialism has failed. The idea that we as black people can carve out a niche, a profitable niche for ourselves, a prosperous niche for ourselves by bowing down to other people I think it's time to concede that that has simply failed, and it doesn't work, and it's never worked. And I wonder how many people feel guilty, and you live in California, how many of them feel guilty for the fact that they have handed over their children, 19-year-olds like Zara, 15-year-olds like Hussein, 10-year-olds like Zaheem. I wonder how many people, Mona, feel guilty about that.
Honestly, if they have listened to the Black Channel, I would say a lot of people feel guilty. And that's why I want to say that I hope that we all understand the significance of what we are doing. Because I'm 54 years old, and I've heard all my life, if black people come together, we will become a mighty nation. And after Rosewood and Philadelphia and Wilmington, California, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, this was not supposed to happen. And do we realize how long and how hard that white supremacy has fought so that we never think about doing something like this? And we have to understand that they all along knew who we are. They know who we are and the excellence of the lineage that we were naturally born into. But see, most of us don't know, and that's why we haven't acted accordingly. And see, they have taken a joy for too long in having the ability to keep making us believe that we are suppressed and we should be second-class citizens and we should be happy about that. See, history has proven that we are a resilient people and that we handle opposition and oppression and obstacles very well. And for white supremacy and their systematic genocide, welfare, Planned Parenthood, unemployment, incarceration, homosexuality, single motherhood, deadbeat dads, the cutting of benefits, the senseless murders of our babies, religion and drugs, all those things that they put into place has not killed us fast enough. And last night when I was not available to call in, but I was still listening, I heard Black Truth say that you learn something from repetition. So TBA repeatedly chanted, what do you own? What do you control? And what are you passing on? Black empowerment, Black wealth, and Black influence. And then it became so liminal. And then when we looked inside our subconscious minds, it kicked in. And when we began to honestly answer that question, we know we didn't own nothing. We didn't control nothing. And we are not passing anything on to our children. And then it made sense. And that's why we couldn't wait till 7 a.m. came out so that we could contribute. And I want you guys to just look at what we have accomplished in 45 days as Africans. And I just want to say this because I'm going to get emotional because I'm a female, and I'm just so proud of everybody that this is monumental. This is historical. That white supremacy understands that there are a group of Africans that are striving for excellence, who are carrying a torch for our African selves and our African ancestors. We sent out this 911 call to our people. We acted like adults, collectively, and we have been unstoppable. We came to conquer. We came to be competitive. And we didn't get here through buffoonery and singing and rapping and foolishness and twerking and fighting and sexing and playing sports. We are business-minded. We are entrepreneurs. And our pledge is to own something, control something, and we plan to pass the wealth baton onto our children. And they are afraid, and they should be, because this is just the beginning for Black intelligent society. I am so proud of you guys, and I am proud to be an African woman today. And I hope that every man and woman who contributed to this and watched this crowdfunder just grow and grow and grow, that they feel something that they never felt before. Black First Brigade, we are a force to be reckoned with, and we are unapologetic. Much respect to you, TBA. Black First, my sisters and brothers, I am proud of you. And I hope that you pat yourself on the shoulder and that you, I don't know what you got to do, scream to the top of the mountain that we did this. That's it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here, Sister Knight. And I want to thank you for everything that you've done. Because I know it's been a long time coming, especially for those of you who've been alive longer than I have, which means that you've had to sit back and witness and watch all this and tolerate the situation not changing even longer than I have. But in the words of Sam Cooke's immortal song, a change gonna come. And I think it's right about here.
Yeah.
I think it's right about here.
And anybody that did not, you know, join us, oh, that's not a good look for you. Because that lets us know that still, through the information that you have obtained, and through this being repetition and TBA saying it over and over and over and over again, that something must be wrong with you mentally. Because we don't bring children into the world to make their life worse. We bring children into the world to carry out our legacy and to make their lives better. And if that's not what you're focusing in, you don't need to be a parent. You don't. When I heard CJ, that was one of the shame at 20-something years old. And that young lady broke my heart. She broke me down. When I hear Hussein and that 10-year-old boy calling in at 10 years old saying, how can I open up a business? Because his mother and his father has failed him. But something about the black channel turned him on. And he was sneaking and calling. He didn't care. He wanted that knowledge. He had a quest for that knowledge, and that's something that we don't see in young children, not African-American children. And how both of them were just had lost their minds, and they couldn't even get together to raise up this child. They didn't even know that this child is displaying some kind of brilliance right here. So again, I say thank you to everybody that contributed to 7 a.m. and that we have to stick together. And we have to keep this going. And anybody else, we have to come back again and again and again and again and support our people, because we are the best, and we have gathered the best, and we have shown that we're not scared, and we have shown that we're saying no more, no more. You will not stereotype us, and you will not say that we ain't nothing, and you will not say that we are lazy, because our ancestors worked this land for over 400 years for free. And everything that you know and everything that you have acquired and all the wealth that you have obtained came off the backs and the blood and the sweat and tears of our ancestors. And we are here to honor them and make them proud of us. And if there is a heaven, I know they jumping up and singing old Negro spirituals. And yeah, it's a party going on right now. Yes, it is. And Jason, I just want to thank you being so selfless and seeing the urgency and taking the time out of your young life to tell us that we should be striving for excellence, because that's what we came from. And honor to you, Black Truth, as well. You guys are great examples of black men that I've been waiting to see all my life. And I am so proud of you. And I respect you guys to the foot. These are black men that we are witnessing today. And black women as well.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, Anna, and that's very much appreciated. And thank you for helping to make all of this possible. And everybody is in, the shock has only started here. Trust me, what we've been feeling ain't nothing compared to what they're feeling. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, sister. Please give us a call back again.
All right. Black first.
Black first, as always. Let me take caller from 813. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first, brother. This is Brian from Tampa, Florida.
What's on your mind, brother?
First off, I'm a little nervous now. This is my first time calling. And first thing first, I want to thank you and the fam right here who contributed to 7 a.m. Because it actually gave me hope. For once, it gave me hope to know that there's actually intelligent black people who are actually supporting this. Supporting this idea, the word that we need an economy where it's needed. We don't have like a solid value system, and we were so poor for this long. It's much needed, and I want to thank you for that. I contributed like $15 today.
Well, definitely I want everybody to do what they can, because in a situation like this, we have so many tools that are at our disposal but have not been used. And I don't want anybody to let the fact that maybe you can't do as much as somebody else prevent you from doing what you can do, because your future is riding on this, especially in California. Your future is definitely riding on this. And we have spent so long avoiding a conversation about developing an economy, developing an economic base for ourselves, discussing dealing with this financial issue once and for all. We've done everything we could to avoid that. And it's about time that we actually started dealing with that. So I want to thank you for your support of 7 a.m. I want to thank you for everything that you've done with that. And you still have time here to contribute some more. So definitely don't let that stop you, okay?
Of course.
All right. Thank you very much for checking in with us here tonight, brother, as always. Let me get caller from 334. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Blackbird, BBA, it is Reborn African calling from Alabama. You doing okay?
Blackbird, brother, what's on your mind?
The only thing I wanted to say is, first off, thank you for letting me contribute to the movie, you know, putting it that way, because you could have did it all by yourself. But thanks for allowing us to contribute. But the only thing that I want to say right now is, to all the men out there, the brothers, the sisters can do it too. All of us, let's just go over there and make another $15 contribution. Let's just do a $15 perk. That's all I want to say. Black first.
Black first, brother, and thank you very much. Another one of my day one people here. You have to understand, the reason that so many day one people are calling is because it's been so long in the making, and it's been so long that they've been able to see any results from this. You know, Professor Black Truth, a lot of the black folk fainted along the way is the problem. Can we just be honest that a lot of black folks simply gave up? They just gave up on the idea that things for us could ever be any better, and they just said, well, I'll just collaborate with the bad guys, or I'll just try to find a cubby hole to hide in, or I'll just simulate, or I'll just, you know, sit over here and keep working and hoping nothing too bad happens to me. And now that something is finally moving here, is giving people an opportunity to contribute. But I wonder if people just realize that, you know, a lot of folks just really kind of just gave up along the way.
Of course. One of the biggest problems that we've had is we've cultivated a ton of fair-weather friends, and these are the first folks to flake off. These are the people who, as far as they're concerned, well, ain't nothing happening. Wow, we got in this mess over the course of 500 years, and you think we're getting out in 5 minutes. Or you're sitting here waiting for something big and flashy. These people, they're not looking for liberation. What they're looking for is entertainment. So when they look and see that the way that this is going to happen is we have to move methodically, we have to plot, but we are moving forward. They're, as far as they're concerned, it's been 5 minutes. But of course, you ask these people, what are they doing? Are they doing anything that's ever going to manifest ever? And they don't have anything. See, folks, this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. This isn't going to be a matter of you win the race 5 minutes. Ain't going to go down like that. In fact, that's actually good for us, because it's going to take us a while to win this race. We need time. Time works to our advantage. So all the people out there who just don't have the staying power, who basically lost interest, you lost interest in breathing is what you did. So you go ahead and stand with the swirlers and go ahead and stand with the weed heads. You have a future. Won't be very long, but you got one. As for the rest of us, on to infinity. I give a salute to Mona Lachey. For those of you who are new to the broadcast, Mona is the B-1 Brigade's West Coast commander. She's the one who's in charge of the troops out there, and we could not have possibly asked for a better general office than her. She knows where it's at and what it's got to be. I mean, freaking made us, that woman is made of iron, absolutely perfect, without flaw. And those of you who have not contributed, we're coming down to the last 3 hours here. There is no tomorrow. This is not going to be one of those cases of, well, what about next week? Black people are very good for saying, well, what about tomorrow? Oh, if only been this week. Oh, man, come on. This thing go on for a month now. You ain't in it. You were never going to be in it. I give a good salute to all the people who have put skin in the game. And it is damn good to be an African. This makes me, somebody who thought he knew the meaning of pride, I'm learning it tonight. Because the intelligent black society has stunned the world. Who would have thought that after 150 years of the white media using their dominant position to teach us how to be curly-headed coons, and be Amos and Andes, how to buck dance and be the step and fetch it, and later on how to be the Tyler Perrys, who would have thought that intelligent black society was going to come back hard? You know, it reminds me of what Dr. Leonard Jeffries would always say, truth crushed to earth rises stronger than before. Apparently, it wasn't just talk. There's a lot of us here who understand the stakes and are tired of it. We've gotten tired of being lectured by homosexuals that apparently you ain't a real black man unless you're taking it up the rump. We're tired of bastard baby makers telling us that our community needs a few more fractured homes. Yeah, because we've done so well with it so far. We're tired of having pork chop preachers tell us that if we just have a couple of more gas stations get converted into ministries, quote unquote, that's going to change. That's what we need. We're going to pray our way out of the situation. The only economy that we need are a couple of liquor stores and a couple of shack churches. We're tired of it. We're tired of the lies. We're tired of white supremacy spoon-feeding us poison. We're tired of the fakers, the frauds, and the phonies. But most of all, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. There comes a point where you sit there and just say, enough. If we got to die on this hill, then so be it. But death would be preferable to living in disgrace. That's what's going to get us out of this. When black people finally decide that they are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And as far as religion goes, nothing wrong with that. But Khalid Muhammad said it best, you better pray, but you also better get up and get ready to get free. Because there are children out there who, 150 years ago, black children had to be scared that Massa was going to catch them reading a book. In 2014, our children are scared that the worthless parents who brought them into this world are going to catch them listening to black empowerment, because the parents have been living a lie, and I pray that little boy who called in, because he's up against it. He's up against it. Here he is, and the desire is in him for better. Even as a baby, he can sit here and see that there's a light coming from this place, but he's got parents who are going to be the single greatest source of antagonism and obstructionism in his life, and that is wrong. That is wrong. For all of you out there who still have the ability to contribute but haven't, I want you to understand that if you think that this broadcast and what it's done is important, what the world do you think is going to happen when we get out there and make it clear that a new day has dawned? We are going to take this thing national. What we have to do is make it clear that with 7 a.m. we plant the flag and let everyone know that there is a place where coonery and buffoonery is not allowed. That some black people came together and established a zero-tolerance zone for stupidity. We have created a safe haven for the kind of talk that's going to turn this thing around, the kind of action that's going to turn this thing around. And we're not allowing in anyone who's going to take us backwards. Anyone who makes it where our children have to be scared to call in because they know that their parents aren't about anything. We need a place that says that is not okay. We need a place that says either you stand with us or you stand in our way. Because it is a shame when our children have better sense than the parents who brought them into this world. That lets you know how far that we've fallen. That lets you know how far we've degenerated. To the point where the babies see the light, but their parents are standing in the way. This is what happens when you decide that, you know, crotch power is the only thing that you need. This is what happens when you decide that as a female, you're going to use your crotch to get attention. And as a male, the only thing that matters is how many broads can you parachute from bed to bed with. You wind up with broken families, fractured families, and damaged children who don't have a chance because you didn't give them that chance. Yeah, white supremacy's dialed us in for genocide, but we're not having it. This place right here is the Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, the Special Air Service, look it up, the Marine Force Recon. We are the elite of that group of people in black society who get it. We are not going to be millions, nor do we wish to be. We're not sitting here trying to have a concert. If you have a concert, then you want millions there. What this is about is a group of people who are going to act as a vanguard. Because the whole point of setting up the blackchannel.net was to have a witness and a warning. We have already provided the witness and the warning. Now we are going to back that up with solid, consistent, and persistent action. We're going to change everything. We're going to change our culture to one of from one of regression to one of progression. So that none of our children ever again need be scared to speak to people who they see are speaking in their interest. You had a child who heard this kind of talk and sat there and said, I want more of it. That, what in the world were you doing at 10 years of age? Were you watching He-Man and the Masters of the Universe? Were you sitting there obsessing over baseball cards? Were you watching reruns of Pokemon at age 10? You had a child who at age 10 wasn't sitting there watching cartoons. He was listening to the grown-ups talking, and he said, I want this. My God, how can you hear that and not understand that we are doing something important? And Hussein called in, and he sat there and said, I'm working at this library here where they're not teaching me anything about self, but I'm going to give everything for this. These are the children. The babies get it. Man, this is some powerful stuff here. And for any of you Christians out there, you better read your Bible where Jesus Christ and the children shall lead them. That's the reason why you hear Jason and I talking to the children. Why are we talking to the babies? Because the babies will hear us. That 10-year-old who called in, I'm willing to bet you his parents are in their late 30s. They're around our age, and they ain't worth nothing. Because they sit there and see their child and not care about the fact this baby represents the future. Because when they take their last breath, that child is going to be all they have left in this world. And it didn't matter to them. But thank the ancestors that mattered to that baby. That's what it's going to take. Get about looking for a savior. You're going to have to save yourself. If your family stands in the way, then knock them aside and keep moving forward. If your so-called friends stand in the way, push them aside and keep moving forward. If your spouse or girlfriend or friend stands in the way, then push them aside and keep moving forward. You make sure that you don't go down. There's a lot of black people who are going to make it out of this, and that would be a good thing. We got to purify our ranks. A month and a half ago, when Jason started this thing, everyone thought it was impossible. Now they're looking at it and saying, inevitable, black first.
Let's go ahead and see if we can take a couple of phone calls here. Caller from 216, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, this is Herb from Cleveland. And
what's on your mind, brother?
Congratulate for the fundraising. And pretty much I'm very elated about what has happened. I just wanted to say that you have done something that a lot of people, like you said, doubted. I'll just put it this way, in some kind of form. You put a stake in the heart through some of these vampires. You threw some holy water on some of these vampires, and they're coming after us now. You dropped that house on the Wicked Witch of the West, where these mothers who didn't give a damn about their kids. I'm glad you did it. I talked to a radio host that's going to who I text about 7 a.m., and he's got back to me as well, and he's going to be trying to contact you. So I told him to do it because I think we got to now think about getting more of these message out and getting these CDs or whatever we can do to help get more out to the public. So I'm very grateful for what you did. The work is really now just beginning, so I'm looking forward to helping out. That's all I have to say.
I want to thank you and everybody else out there who is in support of you as you have, because it's not just one person. There is a reason why we are everywhere and nowhere, faceless and nameless, pretty much, is because it's not about me. It's not about me. It's not Professor Truth. Hell, it's not you. This is about Zaheen. This is about Hussein. This is about Zara. This is about a bunch of kids in Brooklyn, in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, in Nashville, in D.C. This is about a bunch of kids who didn't have a chance because nobody gets down before now. This is about them. This is not about me. That's why everybody who is failed, they always tried to make this about the Black Channel, about me. And this is not about me. It never has been, and it never will be. This is about you and me and us and we, and what are we going to do as far as our legacy? What are we passing on? That's what it's always been about.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's been great, and it is. It's a celebration that's worth having, and you're breaking up for me. I can't hear you as well, but I just wanted to say the efforts of the people, the people that donated, they are the troops, and I agree with everything Professor Black said. I truly am grateful to be a part of this, and we'll just keep it going, and I'll say Black first. Thank you again.
My first, brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. There's something to be said for a silent majority, although we need the majority to be a lot more vocal. But there's something to say for the people who've been sitting in the background, and they haven't liked it, but they said, you know what, when my chance comes to make a move, I'm going to make one. And that's the great thing about 7 a.m. is it's allowed them the opportunity to make their move. And it has simply been unparalleled. This is what people want to talk about. This is what they want to discuss. State caller from 718, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, Black first.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Better Sis for Assist in chat room, known as Better Black in Facebook, on Facebook. Hello?
Yes, brother, you're there. Go ahead and talk.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you for bringing this into light and for bringing the Black race together again and for letting me put on my sniper, let everybody know that it's going down, let them know that Black economics is coming back. It's well needed. And to let you know, Mona and Professor Black Truth, that we ain't taking no prisoners. And we need to come back to light.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, brother. And thank you for all of the steadfast assistance that you've given us on this. It has definitely been tremendous. And thank you for all of your support for promoting 7 a.m. and helping to make this possible. You've been relentless. You've been indefatigable. And definitely you have my appreciation for all of your support, brother.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling us here tonight. Definitely appreciate that. Let me take caller from 240. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, this is Gwendolyn calling from Fort Meade. How are you?
Hello, Gwendolyn. What's on your mind, sister?
I'm actually trying to donate right now, and I'm having trouble putting in some of the information, but I'm going to get it right. But I'm just
wait until it's time to start paying and say, well, I was going to do it, but see, it wasn't fighting everybody else, but it's fighting me, so I don't know if I can get in there.
Well, I've got in there a few other times, so I'm sure it's just something that I'm doing or it's my tablet or something. But I'm going to get it in. But I'm very excited for you, and I'm happy, and I'm just listening to everybody's calls, and it's just a really feel-good moment, I guess, and just listening to what you guys are saying, it just really lifts a lot of anxiety off me. I guess maybe it's only temporary, but it makes me feel good, you know. So I feel really good tonight about everything that's going on, and it's a very positive time. So I'm enjoying everything that's being said, and I'm very happy for you, you know, and proud of you. And I've been telling everybody about you. And I was at my father's house for Father's Day, my parents' house, and I guess my father's been overhearing me talk to my brothers or my husband and things about Jason, and you know, and I usually call you Jason, and you know, we were leaving today, and I wanted to leave before your broadcast came on, and I thought it would be 8 o'clock, so I'm trying to get out of my parents' house, and I wanted to listen to you, and my dad asked, well, why are we leaving so early, and my husband says, well, she wants to get on the phone with Jason, and he's making fun and everything, and my dad pulls me to the side and says, well, I don't know, you know, who Jason is, but I'm not sure if you should be calling him, you know, and you and so it was just really funny, and I told him, you know, so I laid it down and told him exactly, and I said, well, this is the Black Authority who I've told you about a few times, and he says, oh, okay. And so he says, well, you know, and I played him a little bit of the things you were doing and everything, and he says, you know, so he gave me some cash, and he said, well, you know, he sounds like a real good, great guy. And so I was really happy with that. So it's just been a really great day, and, you know, I'm just excited for everybody involved, and, you know, most certainly for you, you know, and all the work that you've done. I'm just very excited and happy and watching the number go up. And so it's a really great night. And I'm just really happy and proud of everything everybody's doing. So didn't have much more than that. Just want to say congratulations and good for you and all of us.
Well, I thank you for all of your support here, because I know you're relatively newer to all of this than a lot of people are, and I know it's been a bit of a shock to the system, but I think that the more that you all play these kind of broadcasts and listen to them, I think you'll start to find that we are not a bunch of wild-eyed radicals running around, you know, coming up with conspiracy theories and things. We don't do conspiracy theories, we do facts. And the truth is that everything out there is not the end of the world, but there, some of the stuff out there that's really scary really is. And that's a big difference. I mean, everything out there is not a hoax. There is some genuinely scary stuff out there. And what we're trying to do is get Black people to get serious about dealing with some of those things, because what they're doing right now, as I've always stated, is the most humane and gentle version of genocide that the world has witnessed. They're using an economy to shuttle people around and move into a place where they just leave them. And they just got sites in every state where they're just going to cordon us off and just leave us there. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. And everybody who takes issue with this and does something about it, understand history is going to remember you fondly. But for everybody else, no. I'll let you have the last word.
Yes, well, everything you're saying is true, and we all see it coming, you know, right before us. So it's time for us all to wake up. And I'm glad that, like you said, it doesn't have to be a large number of people. It just has to be people who can do what they need to do, put their money where their mouth is, and, you know, walk the walk. So, you know, thank you for all that you've done and opening so many eyes and just letting me know that and putting me in the right path and keeping me there, because I knew that I needed to be there. I just need some guidance. And so I'm very happy that I found you, and I'm happy to be supporting you. So you have 100% of my support, and so does everyone else involved. So Black First, thank you.
Black First, sister, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Folks, right now I am swelling with pride. I am looking at what the B-1 Brigade has brought, the war chest that is going to drop a bomb, an intellectual bomb, on our enemies. We're getting ready. This is our Manhattan Project. This is our Manhattan Project. We got the best and brightest of our group together. We formed a think tank, and we came up with the idea that what's the most important thing we could do to turn our situation around? First of all, we got to take control of the culture. We got to take control of that culture by taking control of the apparatus that defines the culture, media. The reason that so many black people are focused on cars, clothes, and hoes is because there is no voice in the black community strong enough and loud enough to talk to the masses and tell them otherwise. We unfortunately let our community turn into a safe zone, a free fire zone for coonery. And that's the reason why anti-intellectualism took over. We allowed the bad guys to come into our community and sit there and say, you ain't got to be intelligent. You ain't got to focus on power, wealth, and influence. You need to be super sexually groovy. How far did that get us? It got us a bastard baby epidemic, and it got us a bunch of innocent children have to sneak to call us. To think about that. We got our children having to call us in fear of their parents. It lets you know how deep the problem goes. But it also tells me a lot that the children want this. At the end of the day, let the babies hear this. Let the young men like the Husseins and his sister Zahra, let them hear this. Let them hear this. Let them contribute. We need to talk to them. We need to look them in the eye. We need to meet these children because when the fight is joined, and it surely will be, we are going to look to the young people to save us. And that's the reason why this is important. Yes, we will talk to the young. We will talk to the babies because they can hear this. We're doing this for them so that our progeny, our babies, will not fade from this earth. So no, we're not going to be swirling. And no, we're not going to focus on being super sexually groovy. And no, we're not going to get blunted up. And we don't give a damn about the new LeBrons. We're not concerned about what's hip and cool. We are concerned about what's intelligent and powerful. Because the people with the intelligence and the power are the ones who are winning. And they're wiping us out. And the people who have focused on being dumb and silly, well, they kind of like it that way. And I'm sick and tired of it, and I know you're sick and tired of it too. Every dollar that you are giving is a state that you are through, that the status quo is over, that the party is over, that white supremacy, that white supremacy's stranglehold on us is over. I'll be the first one to tell you I am proud. I am proud to be among a group like this. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you had told me, say, 2 years ago, when George Zimmerman wasn't even a glimmer in the eye of anybody, if you had told me that this day was coming, I would have looked and said, it's possible. But even I would not have dared to dream that intelligent black society had this much raw power. More, I always knew it, but I hadn't quite seen it. Because when was the last time something like this happened? I mean, without a celebrity being involved. For the most part, everyone here gets it because we're behind an ideology, because Jason wisely didn't give you anything else but that. See, Jason's not looking for YouTube fame. Jason's not looking to be internet popular. Jason's not looking at this as a platform so he can get some girls' phone numbers. Jason's not running a fraud. Intelligent black society is real. Black people who can be brought together for something other than coonery and buffoonery, that's real. And the people who are part of, you know, Steve Harvey's fan base or the Wendy Williams weirdos or the Tom Joyner jagoffs, those people are going away, and they need to go away. We want to clear the boards. So that the only ones left standing are intelligent black society. There's going to be opposition, and there's going to be turbulence ahead. The dominant culture is not going to sit on its hands and watch us rise, but they can't stop us. If we stick together and stick to our guns, they can't stop us. And the people out there who were never with us, don't waste a single tear or a single moment going, oh, how sad. Ain't nothing sad about the people who didn't see the threat and didn't care about it getting their just desserts. Is war. And in war, stragglers get lost. You know, I think that it was General Jackson, Andrew Jackson, who when he was military, he said, we shoot stragglers. That's what I thought about people who are the hangers-on and the window shoppers. They come here because they get ticked off that the boss gives them a hard time. But, you know, they're intrigued by all of this black empowerment talk because it makes them feel better about the fact that they're not doing anything. We don't want anybody like that. We want the willing and the able and the doing. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's a disgrace, basketball players who get millions of dollars, and the only thing that comes to their minds is, how can I go on a shopping spree? That's a disgrace. And you see the white media celebrating these guys because that's a value system they want to promote. Live fast, die broke. And, well, we don't know what condition corpse is going to be in. Edgy and fun. Tell me, how much fun did these losers look like they were having? How much fun did they look like they were having? The age of maturity is on top of us, and only the intelligent are going to survive. And I thank the ancestors for that. We are all we've got, but if you look at the numbers now, we have exceeded all possible hope. I could not have thought we were going to get this far. We are all we got, but when I look at the results, Dr. Clark was right. We are all we need. We've only got 2 hours left. Notice how the time is falling off the clock like that. The countdown is on. 2 hours. Is it possible? Can we go for 100? Is it possible? You have shown us that anything is possible. We have left the media's the white media's handpicked darling in the dust. We have left the fakers and the frauds in the dust. And now the whole world is looking, holding their collective breath. They dare not speak. They're seeing black people exercising power. The question is not whether or not intelligent black society is organizing itself into an army. That question is already answered. The only question at this point, well, the only question for white society and their coon, bastard, baby-making fraud allies is, to what extent are we going to build an army? And then, for what purpose? No, we ain't playing any games here. The time for game playing is over. At this point, it is going to be total freaking war.
All right, let's see if I can take another phone call here. Caller from 661, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Brother Jason, and Black First, Professor Black.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Earl Tipton III. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
And what's on your mind, brother?
Well, I just want to take the time at this late hour to congratulate you on a very successful campaign. And I can't tell you how big my heart is that I took the time to contribute to it, to take part in it, and to tell all my friends about it. And it just reminded me of so much of what Dr. John Henry Clark said, that powerful people cannot teach those who they oppress, because once they are truly educated, they won't just ask for power. They're going to take it. And I know when this documentary comes out, it's going to help me teach so many people in my neighborhood, as well as the young people, how we can take that power without having to do the same coonery things that you spoke about tonight. And seeing that we've surpassed 90,000 and what Professor Truth said, anything's possible, and you really made it work, and I just want to take this time to really congratulate you, and I really am truly looking forward to this documentary, and you just did an awesome job. And I know the ancestors are really smiling on you, and Professor Black and Mona and everyone else for what we've done in this campaign. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that. Black first, brother.
Black first, brother. And thank you for all of your help and your support. Another one of my relentless people about promoting this broadcast and everything that we do here. And I wanted to let you know that that has not gone unnoticed. There are a lot of people who may go unsung from all this, but you know what? We're not in it for attention. We're not in it for fame. We're not in it for pats on the back. And everybody who did the right thing, they know. And everybody who didn't, they know. And for those of you who have done the right thing, you know, it has not gone unnoticed. Your work and your efforts, those things haven't gone unseen, and I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much for joining us, brother, and Black First as always. Tonight is a vindication. It is a vindication for every single person who found themselves insulted because they were black. For every single person who has found themselves powerless because they were black. For every person who's been made to feel that they were less than because they were black. For every person who has studied hard and worked hard, who had to survive the schools that were trying to push you off into special ed and kick you out of school because you had survived those attempts on your life. This one is for everybody who didn't have somebody there to keep pushing and patting them on the back and telling them keep going. That's who this is for. This one is for everybody who had to be their own inspiration. Those long, dark nights in those cold or especially hot rooms, depending on the time of year, where you had to be your own coach, your own cheerleaders. Hell, you had to be your own defensive lineman. That you had to be all these things all the time by yourself. This one is for everybody who ever doubted that they would ever be proud of being black in their lives. That's who this one is for. This one is for everybody who had to sit there lonely by themselves, and for all of you who felt like you were the last intelligent black person on the face of the planet, like you were the only black person who recoiled when they told you that gay is the new black, like you were the only black person who recoiled when people told you that they wanted folk to be colorblind while they treated you like anything but. For everybody out there who has to stand by themselves and stand alone, who had to watch whores, sluts, rappers, coons, goons, clowns, wannabe bucks, and tools of servitude to white society, the handmaidens and the helpers, the handmaidens and the handymen of white supremacy in black society. For all of you who had to survive all of those machinations, this is for you. This is for you. A little guy. He wasn't very tall, he wasn't very handsome, he wasn't very imposing, but he had a heart bigger than the Milky Way galaxy. A guy with a funny accent from Jamaica, but Marcus Mosiah Garvey refused to be beaten. And it was because of his courage and his heart and his will that we're here tonight. And this one is for you, Brother Garvey. His name was Malcolm X, and he was tall and imposing. And likewise, he was uncompromising. Even when it seemed like the whole world had turned against him, He kept standing. And he met death without flinching. Because we didn't know it, but he did. We didn't know it, but he knew that no matter what happened to him, we were coming. And he knew that if he stood firm, that he would be a martyr who would allow us to one day rise in his place. You see, you don't grow flowers above ground. You grow flowers and you grow crops by putting something in the ground. You see, there's a difference between burying something, planting something. There's a difference. And Malcolm knew he was planting something. This is for you, Brother Malcolm. This is for you, Huey Newton, Bobby Seale, Eldridge Cleaver, Fred Hampton, Stokely Carmichael. This is for you, Freeman and Farr, Brother Pinckney, Kathleen Cleaver, and all the others who were brave enough to say that even if the rest of the world does not take a stand against this oppression, we will. For those of you who put your lives on the line when it was dangerous to call yourself a panther, it was dangerous just to be seen with them, and yet you did that anyway. This is for you to tell you that Baldwin was right, the fire next time. So much bigger and brighter and hotter than the fire last time. It wasn't the revolution that caused the fire. It was the fire that caused the revolution. And this for you. This is for you, a little man with a humble voice from a southern state of bigotry and white supremacy. But he was a man who all he had was his academia. All he had was the books he read until the point that it took his sight from him. But Dr. John Henrik Clark refused to compromise, and he refused to back down. It is because of him that men and women like us know what to do today. We knew which way to go, and we knew it was the right way because he blazed the trail for us. And his counterpart, Chancellor Williams, who likewise gave up his sight as well. You see, they lost their sight, but they never lost their vision. And that is how we got to be here today. And this one, Brother Clark and Brother Williams, this one is for you. When we needed heroes who would not compromise, like Brother Khalid Muhammad, this one's for you. When you feel like a prophet who is crying in the wilderness, doing everything that you can, and you've come to your wits' end because it seems like nobody is moving down, even though you are by yourself, and you thought it over and you became a one-man think tank, and you laid it out, and you wrote books, and you called it Powernomics. And you went to your people over again as they did not move. And you wondered, what am I doing with my life? Dr. John Henry Clark started it in my mind. The idea of nation building in the modern era. And the man who laid out the specifics and gave us the step-by-step to Claude Anderson. We were ready for the message of Claude Anderson because Dr. Clark prepared us. And Dr. Anderson, who is in the documentary, this one is for you. I would not be sitting here tonight with all of these people. Understand something. If you are listening to this broadcast tonight, if you contributed to 7 a.m., if you're a part of the movement, you are their children. You are the children of slaves on a plantation who did not know if they would be free, but they knew that they must be free. And because of that, they knew they were free. A man named Turner and a man named BC. And all of you are their children. And you have had to survive treason from within and treachery from without. And yet you're still here. You're still standing. And tonight, this one is for all of you. We have waited a very, very long time, brothers and sisters from around the world. We've waited a very, very long time to be able to say what we're going to be able to say after tonight. You see, on the plantations, the weapon of choice was not the chain and the whip. The weapon was the mind. And their goal was to twist you and bend you so that eventually they could enslave your mind. That was the goal. That was always the goal, was to maneuver you into a position that eventually they could enslave the mind for eternity. That was the goal. That's always been the goal. It has always been about how do we trap their mind so that we don't need chains anymore. How can we transform slavery from a practice to a culture? How do we do that? And for the most part, they did succeed, but they didn't succeed completely. And after tonight, all of you who survived the coons and goons sent to you by white supremacy to stumble and block your way, all of you who survived the ignorance and the stupidity, the skinny jeans and the teenage pregnancy, the bastard babies and the drug dealing pants sagging thuggery, all of you who survived that so that you could be here tonight to bear witness that you are proof of intelligent black society. After tonight, we will be able to say something that we have not been able to say in decades and indeed in centuries. White supremacy, we have waited a very long time. But finally, we get to challenge you. We've seen what you can do when the weapon is the mind. Now you're about to see what we can do. Brother Truth, I'll let you have the last word.
This is historic for so many reasons that we can't even really count them. And it's been so long coming. How do you properly celebrate? Intelligent black society, you put it down. and you've outperformed everybody else. This is the final verdict. It proves that this is the winning side and always has been. We weren't just talking. No one deluding ourselves. We can do this. Keep on pushing past tonight into the years ahead until no black child has to be concerned their parents hearing this kind of talk, until none of our daughters and sons have to be ganged up on in a classroom simply because they tell the truth and challenge the lies, and until none of us has to call for freedom, because when you got power, that is freedom. Folks, black first.
So many of you out there, when we first started the Black Channel 5 years ago, you were frustrated, you were sad, you were lonely, you were dejected, you were demoralized. You wonder if anybody else out there understood or even cared about black. You looked at things like the Malcolm X movie and Malcolm X Make It Plain and Roots, and you wondered if anybody cared. You looked at your schools as coonery and buffoonery reigned. You looked at your families as ignorance and stupidity ruled everything. And you wondered to yourself, looking up at the heavens, can anybody hear me? You wondered if anybody could hear you. I want you to take a look at our Indiegogo. I want you to take a look at 7 a.m. I want you to take a look at all of these people, your brothers and your sisters from around the world, and look what we've done. For all of you who had lost so much faith, I wanted you to know tonight, you asked the question. You asked, could anybody hear me? Take a look at it now. You got your answer. We heard you. And we're here. We're all here. I want to say to all of you on a personal note that I'm just a little kid from Louisiana. From a mid-sized city in a not very populous state. Hell, you got more people in Manhattan than we got in the whole state of Louisiana when you think about it. I'm just one guy. I'm not some guru. I've just had a lot of knocks, and I've tried to learn from as many of them as I could. And I tried to give all of you something that I didn't have. Someone who was willing to explain all these things and give us a place where we could talk. And nobody else was doing it. If they did, they had ulterior motives. I just wanted a place where intelligent black people could get together and speak without coonery and buffoonery and nonsense and distractions. And thus the Black Channel was born. But this place would be nothing and mean nothing without all of you. And I wanted to tell you how much that means to me. The men who inspired me to do this and inspired me to, you know, put my own finances into it to do all of this and asking nothing in return. I want to thank all of you for proving that being black, being African, is still something that people can put their faith in. And I wanted to thank you all for that. In case you did miss it, or whatever the case might be, just be aware, because some people ask about this, but it'll be a little bit trickier, but just so you aware, there were some individuals who wanted to discuss contributing after this. I'm not really sure if I'll go ahead with that or not, but if you want to, They were asking, hey, pal, email address is theblackauthority@yahoo.com. Same as the email address, so that is the email address also. So you do have the option here. You don't want to wait any longer because, like I say, we're going to, as soon as all this is done, we'll just start doing our thing. But definitely for any stragglers, you know, we're not going to shoot them, but we are going to wave our finger at them. If anybody else who missed anything, just beware. You go ahead and try that and see if that works well for you. But I want to thank all of you, everybody who's involved, everything that's done, everybody who's done something. I want to thank all of you for contributing and being a part of the biggest comeback ever, brothers and sisters, not by a long shot. As a matter of fact, not only is it not over, we're just getting started. A lot of people tonight have thanked me, and there have been people who have been happy that I have faith in them. But I want to say to everybody here that I'm happy, I'm humbled that all of you kept faith in me and in this thing that we are here at the Black Channel. I want to thank all of you for keeping faith in me and keeping faith in us. I want to thank all of you for that. I'll take one last phone call here, and then we're going to call it an evening. Caller 347, we're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, hello. My name is Aline. I'm the mother of Zara and Hussein. I wanted to call. I just had to call tonight. You know, I was afraid. I really, you know, I get nervous when I talk. But anyway, I wanted to thank you for what you've done for my family. You know, I'm, well, I really don't want to, well, my age. Anyway, I'm in my 60s. And so I was around with the Panthers, and I was under a rock because I had a mother that was a single mother and didn't know my kids stay in the house. And I am so proud that you have assisted in giving my kids the courage to want to do more and to do better and to just be in the forefront for this fight that we're in. Every day that I go out, it fears me. Well, not fear me. You know, it challenges me. I'll put it like that. Because when I see the police walking around our community, and then I go to another community and they're not there, we're no different than any. And I pull my kids by the chain to let them know, you know, to make them aware of it every time we see it and everything else. That's why you hear them talking the way they talk. Jason, you would have been so proud. My kids, they challenged, when Hussein called and he said he challenged me and my daughter. He said, look, I'm giving every dime. And that's what I want to do now, to challenge the rest of the listening audience to give, give, give. There's no way we could come so close to 100,000 and we're not there. I mean, that's the tip in the hat. You know, and especially New Yorkers, they see it on the train all the time. This is when the hat should be out and the change and the dollars or whatever should be going in. You know, my daughter, she said to me tonight, because Hussein is out of town, She said, Mom, she said, we have got, this is it. She said, this is it. She said, we have got to do this. And so I'm laying there on the bed, I'm looking at her, and she says, Mom, you know, she says, I have this money. You know, she said, this will be the best birthday gift for Hussein. And so how could I say no? So as she threw hers in, I had to throw mine in, and then we had to call Hussein. And he was so elated, he could not even talk because he's not listening to where he is, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, so I am challenging again, like I said, the listening, because we listen, and it's beautiful to hear it. And so, you know, there's bills that we might pay them late, or we don't pay them, or whatever. But people, I mean, that's what you have to do now. Forget about that bill if it's the bill. Not forget about it, but pay it late. Now is the time. We have a few hours left, and this is for us. It is for our children and for all of us that have been under the rock, like I said. It's time for us to push the rock off and let our money do the talking. But that's all.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
First, okay. First of all, let me say
that you have an extraordinary group of children there. Well, you got a young lady now, as a matter of fact. And I've also extended my invitation to her as well.
I heard, and I appreciate and I thank you.
Like I say, I would love to be able to meet them in person, and because it's been a few years, okay? It's been a few years since Sean Bell. It's been a few years, and your son is about to come of age in the police state of New York where they can start trying to stop and frisk on him. He's just about coming of age where he becomes a prime target for everything.
I know it.
When the police put out the APBs, suspect is black male, and that's pretty much it. Oh, good. Now we get to stop all of them. Your son is just about coming of age where he goes from being that high school kid to the suspect, even though he doesn't know what he's being suspected for.
Okay.
He's coming of age where now he can get followed around Barney's or Macy's or whatever. He's coming to that point now. He's coming to that point now of, oh, I thought he had a gun. It was a cell phone. He's coming of that age now. And we have to be very, very aware of that. He needs to have other black people and black men around him who understand the world that he's going into.
I totally agree with you.
Because there are two understand something. I mean, when I got to New York, I knew what I was going to see, but nothing prepares you for what you're going to experience. Because when I went to Manhattan, and literally I could count the number of black people I saw walking down the street on one hand.
Yes. But see, you didn't make it to Queens. I went to the post office yesterday, and so, you know, I'm walking out, and I saw three police, and you know what persuasion, and these guys were just sitting in the car at the light ready to go, and they nodded their heads. They all decided to just go over and check them. They checked their ID. They walked around the car, and, you know, it's disgusting, yes. Yes, yes.
The way that you break people is you have this constant terroristic atmosphere around them.
Yes.
And the reason for that is because if they don't do that kind of in Chinatown. Now, why is it that they do that there? They don't do it there because, as KRS-One explains so very well in Hidden Colors 2, that the job of police is supposed to be to guard property. Well, the thing is, there's no room for police to be in the neighborhood if the business owners say you're supposed to be here.
Yes. But, you know, just like you said that, I'm talking like in all of Queens itself. Why is it that South Jamaica, that's where, I mean, there's police tripping over each other. And it's just South Jamaica. You can go to Western Jamaica, North Jamaica, any place else in Jamaica. I mean, excuse me, not Jamaica, in Queens. And it's just, it's alarming. It's alarming. And that's why the
militaristic tactics work. I mean, these people have brought militaristic tactics to it, where basically they're using the same tactics that they use in Iraq. That
yes.
type of saturation, police state
yes.
thing going on. But here's the amazing thing. The amazing thing is all those police there is so I would assume that crime is a non-issue there then. If you got police, then shouldn't crime be a non-issue? How can you have so many police and yet crime is still a problem?
Thank you.
Obviously the police are not dealing with crime with all their socks. That's not what they're doing. Well, what are you doing?
Yes. It's to subjugate us. They walk and drive up and down the street. They're looking for, they check the cars, the registration and everything. I mean, it's so bad. It is definitely a police community, a police state. It's the police community, and it is so sad. And that's why I keep – and then the young boys, you know, my heart – It hurts for them. Why? And they walk around with their pants down, and you just want to say, just pull them up. And then I just want to see what this police will do then, you know, because it's just unbelievable. Put a book in your hand, and let's see what he does then, you know, because I want to see how they're going to come at us then. If we do, quote, unquote, what we need to be doing. That's why, just like putting the money in, the way the people should be doing right now as we speak, you know, I want to see how the tide is going to turn.
I do this for children like yours because I don't have kids of my own. I don't have any kids. But if more of us show more concern for the literal condition that these children are in, things would be different. Because what we have right now is a situation where, let's just be honest, most black folk are just hoping that white supremacy they'll wake up one day and white supremacy will just get up and walk away on its own. That's all that praying means. What that really means is that they are hoping that white supremacy is going to get up and walk off by itself.
Mm-mm.
And when it doesn't do that, then they just say, well, the kids will figure it out.
No.
So nobody is trying to build an infrastructure. Nobody's trying to build an economy so that you can actually get politicians to do what you're saying. Nobody is trying to own their side of the town because you've got – you call Harlem the black side of town. How can it be the black side of town if you don't own nothing?
Thank you.
If the Arabs and the Asians own the Arabs, the Asians, and the white folk own everything, black folk are just squatters there. No wonder you can't get the police. Understand something. When I went to New York last year, I'm driving up and down Manhattan, all up in the midtown Manhattan. Bunch of cabs, no police.
None.
Got down there to Harlem, and where we parked at, a cop car must have passed us once an hour. Different car. Now, it wasn't the same thing. It was a car, it was an SUV, it was a truck, it was a spaceship, but it was a different cop vehicle. And what I'm saying is the reason that that's happening is because you don't own anything in those neighborhoods. If you own everything in the neighborhoods, you get to tell the police, we don't want you here. Get this squad car out here. You're not patrolling nothing. Get out of here. But you can't do that because that's not your property, and they know that. You can't get the police to stop harassing you at the BT station in Harlem. Why not? Because the Asians own that. You can't get the police to stop harassing you there because you don't own anything. And because you don't own anything, you don't call any shots.
And you don't
call any shots, the police are just sitting there and squatting. Now, if you all actually own those blocks that you're on, you get to come together, and you don't even need the city council. You stop the squad car where he is and say, you're in the wrong neighborhood, move it. Did somebody call you down here? No, they didn't. Then you need to leave now, not later. Right now. You're trespassing. Time to leave. Ands or buts, but you can't do that. Because the Asians, Arabs don't have a problem with them being there. The Asians and the Arabs want them there. Why? Because don't you recognize that the police are using the same tactics on you in the, on the streets that the Asians and Arabs use on you when you go to their stores? They want you to just hurry in and hurry out.
I know. Oh.
How old are you?
I'm 61.
61 years old. You're just a few years older than Mona.
Yeah.
But what this also means is that, as you said before, you were younger than us when the Panthers were.
I was in my teens, and my mother was so afraid. And then I'm from the Midwest, and you know how it happened in the beginning on the coast, you know, the larger cities. And I just, you know, that fear, and that's something that we cannot afford to have now. And so, see, I missed my calling then. So all of us that are that's my age, you cannot miss it again. Even if you do not have children, you have to talk to them. I mean, my kids and I, we sit around and we're forever talking because you've got to talk about it. And, you know, you've got to light that fire up under them. So and you wanted to just keep burning, and you know, because if that fire is up under them, they're not going to sit still. You cannot. And so we're forever talking. I'm grateful that Zah found you. See, and then Hussein and I'm like, Zah is Jason on? Is Jason on? She says, Mom, you're gonna have to learn to do this. I said, Zah, is Jason on? But we do that every night, you know, because we just I thank you.
Well, I thank you for, you know, sticking with them on that, because as black parents, too often they're negligent about talking to their children. They sit up here and leave the kids to figure it out. That's why we got all these teen mothers running around here.
They park in
front of a television and expect the television to do the job of parenting instead of you sitting down actually talking to your children and find out exactly what do they think of all these police cars. What do you think about that incident that happened in the classroom? What do you think of what happened to the rest? What do you think about what happened to you at Barney's? We don't
sit
down and find out what did they take away from this. Because there are crucial life lessons that they're missing, and we never even bother to ask because we're too busy trying to find a club ourselves.
True. Oh, no. But, Jason, that is so true. My girlfriend was teasing me, literally, because my kids, I don't know what they did to my phone, you know, because I'm really not into all these gadgets as much as I should be. But anyway, their emails come to my phone, you know? And so if I'm not doing anything, I've read their emails before they have. And so it's just so funny because I said there's nothing that they should have to hide from me, you know? And that's what I told my girlfriend. And just like Hussein, the reason you was not able to get back in touch with him because he doesn't, well, he needs a phone, but he's saving his money. And he was like, I didn't want to pay for a phone bill. And so he was like, that's why he was able to send it to the Black Authority, you know. And we don't have a TV, not because, you know, we don't like, I mean, when I said TV, you know, yeah, we don't have TV because, not because we can't afford it. Who needs that bill? Who wants to see the Housewives of Atlanta and all this mess? And so when they, you know, when the TV switched over to digital, I haven't had TV since then because I'm like, you know, the kids don't need it. So Hussein was an avid reader, but now, you know, he listens to a lot of stories and stuff on the Internet. But, you know, I know I'm right there with them. I know exactly what they're doing. And I tell people, no, I trust my kids. You have to talk to them. You have to give them the knowledge. as much as you have, and then you have to find people that have more knowledge than you, and you have to really just get in there and you have to discuss it with them. You know, I go, well, hey, you know, Mom, 61, share it with me. Tell me about it. If you're excited about it, I want to be excited too. And that's what we do. And another thing, and I homeschooled them, Jason. Because,
I can't guess that.
Oh. Well, but what people don't really understand, but at a certain point, then they're homeschooling themselves if you start it when you're young, you know? And that's what
well,
I
it's
did.
It's not so much the homeschooling is so brilliant, it's that the schools are so deficient.
That, thank you. Thank you. There you go. There you go. I
the
totally agree.
So deficient.
With you.
Where black children are concerned, you know, that's why I put peace in the idea of Umar Johnson's The Art of War. The white school system is never going to give Hussein equal intellectual footing with their children. They're never going to teach your son to be their boss.
And
they're
I
never
totally
going to teach him
right.
as well, because that is what you are doing. You are teaching her son to boss over your son if you give them both equal footing. So guess what? The footing is never equal. The terroristic
yeah.
tactics begin from the moment that they enter early childhood or kindergarten, whichever they start first. The terroristic tactics begin right then. The impact
yeah.
on psyche, the destroying their self-esteem, the making them feel like you're not wanted, that begins early. It has to be like religion, that
yeah.
they find out early that you're not wanted, you're not welcome. And so homeschooling, the reason why these kids, why black children in particular do so much better is because they don't get sent into an institution whose most operandi is destroy their self-esteem and to make them feel
yeah.
that they're constantly in a hostile environment. And how the hell are you supposed to learn if you're worrying about teachers messing with you all the time because you're black? How the hell are you
sure.
going to learn under those conditions? And the answer
sure.
is don't.
You
the
don't. You're wrong.
You don't.
You are so right. That is so true. And that's, you know, what I'm seeing now. And I said, there's no reason for our young kids to fail with all the information that's out there. If Hussein has something on his ears, I want to know, what is it you're listening to? And, you know, how is it? You know, is it motivating you? What is it doing for you? You know what? And then, Jason, they both of them, they write, right? And so Hussein wrote this piece. Well, Zah helped him because they do a lot together. Hussein and Zah wrote this piece on felony, right? And I'm going to have her send it to you in the email when she sends it. And it was a thing where Hussein, you know, he saw the police stopping these kids. And so he asked me, he said, Mom, you know, what's going on, you know? And we started talking, and some kind of way we got to a felony. And so he asked me, he was 12, he asked me, he said, well, what's a felony? And I told him, I said, you go research. I said, because I don't want to give you the wrong information. And that's the way I always tell him, you know? And so he went and he researched it, and he and my daughter, they ran upon Michelle Alexander, and they just started writing, and I hope you will enjoy the piece, but I'm going to have him send it. But, you know, it's incidents like that. We have to talk to our children. And Professor Truth, you know, I thank you very much. I thank Mona and all the guests, you know, just hearing them and hearing their stories. I'm going to get off because, Jason, I want, you know, the people to start giving, to give these in these last few hours, to give as much as they can. You know, put that bill back till the end of the month or beginning of next month and just, you know, really send the money for a cause that, you know, that it's our cause. It's for us. It's for our children. It's for their children and all those that will come after us. And, you know, so please just do that. I'm literally begging for you all, you know, for the support of us. But anyway, Jason, I'm saying goodbye. I'm hanging up. I'm going to go on. But you take care, and thank you, and Black First, okay? Bye.
First, sister. you very much for joining us. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning out there on the East Coast. Brothers and sisters, it's time. I'm very glad I didn't sign off before that call. It's time. Everybody else, you can give us a call back tomorrow, 7 p.m., same black time, same black channel. To all my brothers and sisters from around the world, to Professor Black Truth, to all of our day one people, to the ancestors, to the dead, and to the unborn, I want to thank all of you for the faith that you put in me. I want to thank every last one of you for it. And I am going to do everything in my power that I am worthy, that I'm worthy of the credit and the faith that you put in this person. But I have to warn you all right now, nothing is going to change for me. It is still going to be unapologetic, unadulterated, and uncompromising. So if you think that I'm going to water it down, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because I am assuming that you contributed based on that you believe in the way that we're doing this. So just understand, we're going full forward to the floor. There's no turning back. For joining us tonight, everybody, and thank you for making the 7 a.m. documentary promotion campaign an overwhelming success on a level that very few people thought possible. And just for the record, I want to say a lot of people didn't think you could do it, but I did. I would be here doing this if I didn't know you could. Thank you for joining us tonight. As this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio, I am your host, your brother, your incredibly humbled servant, the Black Authority, with, of course, my brother, Professor Black Truth. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, eat, sleep, drink, think, breathe, feel, live, and be everything we are. Black first, because the future is black. And black is the future. And we are always uncompromising.